There's a lot of talk about climate change, sometimes seemingly all talk.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
But when two places are actively dealing with similar issues, flying 9,000 miles to talk may be worth it. A dozen or so Vietnamese government and NGO leaders came to Louisiana recently to find out. Their landscape connection is obvious from the first photo.
Pleasure of spending some time in your beautiful country. This is one of the wildlife preserves in Upper Mekong.
Jerome Zarang has served on Louisiana state and local coastal agencies. He visited Vietnam's Delta in 2013.
Could have sworn I was in Lower Dulac or in Montague, where I'm from, and it was striking the similarities, but also what's unfortunate is the striking similarities in the threats.
Sea level rise, a changing mix of salt water and fresh water. The hope is to make use of shared experience.
We want to hear from you how our experience can help you.
Dr. Robert Twilley directs Louisiana Sea Grant. He translates academic research for local communities.
Because much of what we're dealing with is change in human behavior. Since Hurricane Katrina, we've had four hurricanes, two floods, and an oil spill. I think a large part of our institutional memory is how to deal with communities under crisis.
Good crisis response delivers what people need to get back on their feet fast. Everything from ICE to low-interest loans. But then you have to talk about the long-term reality of where they live.
So communities will understand exactly what they face with sea level rise.
This immediately strikes a chord. From a coastal province in Vietnam, Lee Minh Duc describes his fishing community. He says it's not like the government can move everyone to a safer place tomorrow, and the risk grows gradually anyway. So how can a Vietnamese official like himself tell people to keep fishing, live on the coast for now, but down the line, they may have to move?
How we work together so that they can sustain their livelihood, but not become very anxious?
I wish I knew the answer. But I'll share with you my feelings right now about that question. When we translate the risk of climate change, people will listen if they understand what it means to them, number one. And second, that there is a discussion of what they can do to respond in the time frame that the impact is to happen.
It's a message of transition over decades and generations, he says. Plus,
scare tactics don't work.
You need trust to deliver bad news, even slow-moving bad news. You get that, Twilley says, with honest brokers. Those are people known in the community who can also help craft the message. One of these honest brokers in Louisiana is Sandy Nguyen.
Oh, go back to the shrimp.
We showed her some photos of the Mekong Delta.
How do the shrimp look? Is it like ours?
I would love to see that.
She immediately wanted to go talk to people there. She's only been once, years ago on her honeymoon, long before she started her nonprofit, Coastal Communities Consulting.
It started in 2010, with technical assistance, economic development, and social services.
Nguyen is part of South Louisiana's large Vietnamese-American community. She came here in 1979 as a child, her family seeking refuge after the Vietnam War. Now she's married to a shrimp boat captain and spends her days helping fishermen from a storefront in a largely Vietnamese-American neighborhood. We talk about a delta dilemma in Vietnam, how the government wants to make some areas all freshwater, others all saltwater. To her, it sounds like,
what's going on with the state now? A lot of controversy, a lot of back and forth.
Because part of Louisiana's master plan to save the coast will flood salty areas with freshwater. That means fish, shrimp, and oysters are going to move.
My whole thing is to ensure that our rural communities, specifically our fishermen, understand and stay updated on the process.
She's had parts of the state's plan simplified and translated into Vietnamese. And when Miss Sandy gives these families something, they know it's important. She says many didn't know the state had a plan, and most support restoring coastal marsh. They just need to know how to work around it.
I don't think anybody knows the water like the fishermen do. They know everything that happened, why our coast is like this. They know everything. But fishermen are never taken seriously. They're always in the way. They're in the way because they don't know.
Sandy Nguyen would like more communication with brokers like her and to see fishermen's needs considered to minimize impact on their business or compensate them as they adapt. This need for a two-way flow of ideas and information applies globally, too. That's what Jesse Hardman found in talking to Dr. Brian J. Marks, an assistant professor of geography at LSU.
Marks was there to meet the visiting delegates from Vietnam when they stopped in Baton Rouge. He even greeted them in their own language.
Trình độ bằng tiếng Việt Nam của mình rất là thấp mà rất là cao. Rất là xin cảm ơn mà.
Marks also contributed a slideshow to the event, comparing poverty in Louisiana and Vietnam.
In some ways, Louisiana is more like a quote-unquote developing country than the other 49 states of America because of poverty, because of dependence on natural resources.
Marks grew up along Louisiana bayous, near Houma. His PhD research was on the Mekong, and he sees parallels in the two places' need for affordable solutions that take into account socioeconomic diversity.
You can build tall seawalls. You can build tall dikes. You can do what the Dutch did. But the Dutch have a lot of money, and they have a small, urbanized population to protect. Places like South Louisiana, we're more spread out. We don't have the same amount of resources, and we're in some ways more vulnerable.
Marks describes the Dutch solution as sort of the Rolls-Royce of water management. Louisiana is more working on an installment plan for a Chevy truck.
We are facing such serious challenges to fund a $50 billion, 50-year master plan.
And that mirrors other places with deltas and vulnerable populations.
What is Bangladesh going to do? What is Egypt going to do? What is Vietnam going to do?
In Ho Chi Minh City, Dr. Ho Long Phi of Vietnam University has talked to Dutch and Louisiana officials, not to mention others, and he likes some of the ideas. But he can't just go to migrants on the outskirts of Ho Chi Minh City and say, hey, don't build your house on the low-lying floodplain. Or to farmers, don't build that dike. You have to offer them something first, before you ask for something.
We have to at least to create something to protect them at a minimal level.
Once basic flood protection is in place, then maybe you can ask for bigger changes, like building higher density, greener housing. Or at the household level, rooftop stormwater collection tanks.
We encourage them to build themselves some water tank for their domestic use and also to work as a retention space for rainfall.
Louisiana State Professor and Landscape Architect Elizabeth Mossop couldn't agree more.
Small-scale measures to keep water out of the stormwater system.
Ho Chi Minh City's been seeing crazy rainfall, episodes of 4 inches in 3 hours. New Orleans can get an inch or two in an hour. Citizens in both places can help manage that water.
Well, you can just give people rain barrels. You can provide them for free. Or, for example, you could give people some kind of a financial break, possibly if you make changes on your own site, then you don't have to pay as much.
Both places need a mix of technical and behavioral solutions. Mossop supports a New Orleans zoning ordinance that forces real estate developers to consider water retention. She notes that some local elementary schools are teaching about water management. That's cultural, generational change. And she says you need city-level advocates, like New Orleans City Council member LaToya Cantrell.
So if we want to continue to live in the city of New Orleans, you know, and make it a safe environment for people, then we have to get serious.
Cantrell was speaking after viewing some serious water management efforts in Austin, Texas. Honest, almost to a fault, Cantrell is indeed a community broker in New Orleans. She's already advocating for rain gardens around the city.
I have a vacant, overgrown, blighted lot in back of me, so I'm fired up, and I'm going to make sure that this vacant lot can help me with stormwater management.
Design that vacant lot to absorb extra water in this soggy delta landscape. Then launch a citywide program, setting aside hundreds of vacant lots for the task. If New Orleans pulls it off, that little piece of policy could go up on a sort of global bulletin board.
people seeing their own story back home, but through a different lens.
Glenn Ritchie is with the Coastal Resources Center at the University of Rhode Island. He set up the Vietnamese delegation's visit to Louisiana.
Often when we just look in our own backyard, we have too much history and biases. So when we look at other people's stories, we start seeing other angles about the need for a community to be engaged. It's a powerful message that's coming here.
And yes, a few days of talking is just one step towards action. But by curating the conversation toward targeted, meaningful insights, scholars and leaders can shape projects at home in subtle or specific ways.
Seeing the similarities and then creating a vision and listening to each other. So it's almost too simple. It's like making an apple pie, you know? It's, everyone has their own little recipe, but they're all basically the same.
Communities already seeing the effects of sea level rise, superstorms, and flooding are the ones already testing their recipes to adapt.
And so swapping those recipes globally can lead to better pie, better outcomes for the world's most vulnerable places.
Like the Mississippi and the Mekong River deltas. For WWNO, I'm Jesse Hardman.
And I'm Eve Trow. Oh,